specifically verses 1 to 7 tonight. Read with me, follow along as I read. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once again. Dear Father, as we approach a brand new study and indeed a brand new book, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to be our teacher. Lord, we need your illumination on the scriptures, Lord, because on our own, we can't understand. I just pray that as we go through Proverbs tonight and for the next number of weeks, we would come with ready hearts and eager ears to hear what your word has to say on what true wisdom and true knowledge is. Lord, I pray you would speak through my weakness and, as always, sharpen our minds and soften our hearts. We love you, Lord. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. It was described by one person, according to legend, as the ship that God himself couldn't even sink. On April 10th, 1912, the Titanic set sail for its maiden voyage and what would tragically prove to be its only one at that. Now, whether you've watched the movie or a documentary or even read up on the story yourself, I'm sure most of us know what ultimately happened to that most behemoth of boats and unsinkable of ships. It did, in fact, sink, and in so doing, claimed the lives of an estimated 1,500 passengers who were on board. Only days after setting sail from Southampton, England, it sank on April 15th after colliding with an iceberg. Though there were many things that went awry that led to that horrific loss of human life, perhaps none were more pivotal in the unfortunate way it played out than one of the final radio communications that the Titanic received just before running into that large piece of ice. Less than 1 hour before the collision, wireless radio operator Jack Phillips, who had been tirelessly working to catch up on a backlog of passenger messages to and from Cape Race, received an abrupt, overtly loud message. It was from the Californian and was uncharacteristically loud due to its proximity of being only 10 miles north to the Titanic. And the simple message was this: we are stopped and surrounded by ice. The following is an excerpt I found on those events. Quote, when Evans, who was the wireless radio operator for the Californian, interrupted Phillips, the loud spark from the Californian, lying only about 10 miles to the northward of the Titanic, blasted in Phillips' ear as he was listening to the much quieter signals from Cape Race, which was 400 miles away. This painful interruption would have obliterated the communication Phillips was sending, meaning he would have to begin his current sentence again. Phillips instinctively told the Californian to shut up and keep out, and explained, I'm working on Cape Race. The warning was dismissed. The wisdom was not heeded. He did not listen. And as a result, there were tragic, fatal consequences. Brothers and sisters, we live in a dangerous world that is tumultuous and full of threats and enemies against our souls. We cannot afford to live carelessly. When warned of these potential disasters, we must listen and heed the wise advice that is passed on to us from those who have gone before us. Even more so, we must heed the advice from our gracious God, who gives us a collection of wise sayings to help us make good and right decisions in the world he has placed us in. Well, this book within a book is the book of Proverbs. And that's where we find ourselves as we begin tonight. And just very briefly, our section is going to be divided up into three parts. Verse 1 is going to be part 1. Part 2 is going to be verses 2 to 6. And verse 7 is going to be part 3. Once again, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. The first thing we see in verse 1 is that this book is starting out declaring that it is a group of proverbs. And what is a proverb? A simple definition helps us when it explains that a proverb is simply something that illustrates a general principle, not a promise. It's a general principle, not a promise. Some modern-day proverbs would be, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Actions speak louder than words, and all good things must come to an end. Proverbs speak to what is usually the case, what probably will be the result from a particular path or action. It is not an absolute formulaic rule. They often are culturally sensitive and have been derived from life experiences within those in that culture that have lived many years and have gone through a variety of situations. For our purposes within the biblical book of Proverbs, it helps us to know where and how these were assimilated and what function they had. One note on this said that the Hebrew word for proverb conveys a wide range of meanings, including the idea of comparison, a code of behavior, and the discovery of hidden truth. Essentially, the book of Proverbs is a collection of comparisons based on observation and reflection that seeks to instruct people in right behavior. And that's what we're going to see as we get into it, that it gives us pieces of information, but it's trying to coerce us. It's trying to help us do a code of behavior that will set us on the right moral path. And I think the last part of that definition really hits on one of the major things that the book of Proverbs tries to get us to do, like I said. This is a good point to pause and explain the difference between knowledge and wisdom, because you'll see these two used all throughout the book of Proverbs as we go throughout. This is important, so listen up. Knowledge is information. It's data. It's truth realities that one becomes aware of through learning. Wisdom, on the other hand, is deciding what to do with that information once you become aware of it. It's discernment. It's moral judgment and decision. It's choosing the righteous and good path. This is what the book of Proverbs will implore its readers to do throughout. It will often present two ladies, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, and it will show where following each one of those will go. Following Lady Wisdom will lead to favor and life, while following Lady Folly will lead to death and regret. So that is what a proverb is and how it functioned. The other important item to note in verse 1 is who it is that collected them. The second half of verse 1 says, Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Solomon had been given a supernatural measure of wisdom after his request that pleased the Lord in 1 Kings 3. Much, though not all, of the book of Proverbs is attributed to him, as the amount of his statements of wisdom during his lifetime was prolific. One note I saw on this said, according to 1 Kings 4, 29 through 34, Solomon's knowledge and understanding surpassed that of all the other sages in the academics of the ancient Near East. Solomon is credited with uttering some 3,000 proverbs, which we're not going to go through all of them tonight, so don't panic, and some 1,005 songs. And only a portion of those that he uttered we see here in the book of Proverbs. It's important for us to note, though, just as a reminder, that not all of the book of Proverbs is from Solomon. There are other sayings by Agur and King Lemuel, along with numerous chapters that are even anonymous. As we look at the book as a whole, it's best to view it similar to that of a collection of seashells. In the same way that one would walk along the beach and collect the brightest and most beautiful shells that you would come upon, so Proverbs was collected from various sources for a particular purpose and function to set and guide one on the right moral path. So I hope that you're getting this point, that the theme and one major function that the book of Proverbs is going to do for us is trying to persuade us, trying to have us see the benefits from following, once again, Lady Wisdom, and the dangers if we refuse to listen to the experienced words that are set before us. So this real quick brings us to our second point, our second part, and that's just verses 2-6, and that's the purpose of Proverbs. You could dive into this a whole bunch, but we're just going to kind of go through very quickly because it's kind of self-evident what the benefits will be. Look at verse 2 once again. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. If you and I will have hearts that are humble and ready to listen, the book of Proverbs promises us that we will not be disappointed. It claims to be a treasure trove of valuable insights gained through experience that will guide us onto the right road and help us avoid the pitfalls of life. And they are many. Just look at the verbs going down that list once again. To know, to understand, to receive. And understand is repeatedly. The point of this information being given to us is that so we would once again process it and decide to follow the right path. We will see that all reality and all of life from the perspective that pleases our Maker and adheres to the way that He has designed this life to be. This brings us to the final part, and I just wanted to spend a few more minutes on this, and that's verse 7. The first step on this journey toward wisdom, yes, verse 1 is who collected it, all of the different various benefits that it's going to give us. It's going to give us understanding and wisdom. But the very first step on our journey is verse 7. And verse 7 says this, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. After having identified the source of the Proverbs, primarily being Solomon, and after having gone through a laundry list of benefits one will receive from reading and taking to heart these sayings, we are now introduced by the author to what I would say is the very first step, once again, in gaining a heart of wisdom. That step is having the right perspective toward one individual particularly. And who is that? It's our Maker. It's seeing Him in a proper fashion. The only way that you can have a correct lens on what is expected of you in this world with regard to Him, others, and yourself is to first approach Him clearly and see Him in the right frame of mind. In the same way that an architect carefully designs and lays out a building, so our God has masterfully done so with this universe. He has constructed the relationships that we operate in. He's constructed marriages, families, our neighbors, and friends. He knows what's best. He is the source of all life, and it is to Him that we all must ultimately give an account. What Proverbs is saying here is that if you're going to gain a heart of wisdom, one that is truly wise, the very first piece of the puzzle that has to be laid is putting on the right glasses, so to speak, to view all of life and reality. That pair of metaphorical glasses is properly fearing, revering, and viewing the God who has made you. That's the initial step of true knowledge. If our society prides itself on anything, it prides itself on this is the information age. There has never been an age that has such great amounts of data at its fingertips, and yet sadly, that great amount of information has in no way, and it continues not to, translate into wisdom. Well, why is that? Because though I can ask this device in my pocket many trivial questions that it can immediately respond to and spit out, when I ask it the most important questions, it's silent. I did this earlier. Let me see if it'll work. Hey, Siri. Mm-hmm. What's the temperature in Jerusalem?
It's currently 66 degrees in Jerusalem, Israel.
Hey, Siri. Hey, Siri. It doesn't want to work. But if you try this on your phone, I promise that when I did it about 10 times at home just to test run it, I asked it what the temperature in Jerusalem was. It gave me instantly. What time is it in Beijing? Instantly. Who is God? Silence. How do I get to heaven? I do not understand that question. Though our culture has never had more information, it does not translate into what matters most. And what is beautiful is that I can open a book that is thousands of years old, and it can be superior to the smartphone in my pocket. It can tell me how I can have a relationship with my Creator. It can tell me how I can walk rightly and justly with my neighbor. It can tell me how to avoid certain things that, because human nature does not change, will destroy my soul and wreak havoc in my life. The book of Proverbs is what is going to show us how to walk that narrow path. Let's talk for just one moment, one final moment, about what that phrase, the fear of the Lord, really means. There are different ways one could interpret it, but a quote I ran across regarding its multifaceted nature throughout the book I found to be quite helpful. It's a little lengthy, so just listen. We're almost finished. It says, the book of Proverbs equates the fear of the Lord with the knowledge of God. In the Old Testament, the knowledge of God is associated with the experience of the covenant relationship of Yahweh. Since God alone possesses wisdom and dispenses understanding to humanity, only those who know God through the experience of covenant loyalty will find wisdom's hidden treasures. The concept of the fear of the Lord bridges the human subject with the divine king in such a way that God's storehouse of wisdom is given to them. The fear of the Lord in Proverbs is a composite response of attitude and will shaping human behavior in conformity with the commandments of God. Finally, the idea of the fear of the Lord prevents proverbial wisdom from degenerating into a rigid and mechanistic system of cause and effect relationships. This keeps one from oversimplifying the complexities of life and offering pat answers to hard questions. The fear of the Lord preserves the inscrutable or unknowable nature of God and maintains the profound mystery of life. These qualities help us explain the tension between the two strands of Hebrew wisdom: the instructions for the ideal life and the discussions about the consuming issues of real life. All that to say is that true wisdom, brothers and sisters, begins with a covenant relationship of God. Being in the right relationship with God so that as His Spirit is guiding you along each and every day, you are seeking His counsel above anyone else. It's about being in a right relationship with Him. He is the starting point of all true knowledge, and He offers it to anyone who asks. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." And we know because of Paul who God gives us when we ask for wisdom. His Son, who is himself the source of all true knowledge and wisdom. And Colossians 2:3 says, when speaking of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let me ask you, friend, have you received that knowledge found in Christ? Have you received him as your Messiah, repented of your sins, and trusted him as Lord? He died for you, was buried, and rose on the third day so that you might live with him forever and walk in wisdom throughout your days here on earth. If you have not, delay no longer. Look to Christ and live. Be among the wise. It's my prayer, beloved, that as we journey in this book throughout the summer, you'll have eyes to see and ears to hear. You'll be presented with various topics that will once again implore you to follow wisdom and reject the wisdom of this world. The only question is, will you listen? Dear Father, we are so grateful for your word. We are so thankful, Lord, that we can open your word. We can go to the book of Proverbs. And Lord, you give us wisdom to live and to walk through this life. I just pray that over the course of the next number of weeks, as we look at various and different topics and themes, that we would come with ready hearts, eager to hear what your word says about how we should live our lives. Lord, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.